Okay. Come back to order. The next item on the agenda is a presentation by Ignacio School District 11JT. Commissioner?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Rocco, for being here as well, and your staff and students. I'll call Dr. Owen up. He's going to present the three districts or schools that we have here today. But this, we started this practice, has it been a year ago, I believe. And this is, in my opinion, one of the more important pieces of work that you do. Because you, once ultimately a school and or a district gets to the fifth year on the clock and decisions have to be made, that's ultimately by you, this board. And so it's a good time, and it's also a great time, in my opinion, for you all to sit down and get to know the district, the people, and the challenges they're facing, and also, more importantly, what are they doing to meet those challenges, especially with their students. So with that, I'll turn it over to Dr. Owen.
Sure. Madam Chair?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
So good morning. I think this is on. We're glad to have Ignacio School District here this morning. Dr. Fischetto and his team have come up. It's a long distance. I can vouch for how much of a travel it is, having been in Durango and made the journey many times. I know it's a two-day event for you guys to try to come up to Denver. So thank you so much for being here. You might remember last year of this time, we had a number of school districts begin to talk to the state board. And based on the feedback that we received from the board after those were concluded last year, there was a desire to continue to have these types of conversations as we progress each year on the accountability clock. The goals of the presentation are to provide an opportunity for select districts to share their vision and plans for improvement, to provide the state board with information and opportunity to ask questions of school districts. The state board will be obligated to make recommendations to local school boards regarding school districts that remain in priority improvement and turnaround accreditation ratings, and the school plan types of turnaround and priority improvement as well. These presentations provide insight and rationale for the improvement pathways that are referenced into Senate Bill 09-163. They also help provide opportunities for the appropriate productive use of what's going on in a local school system in the context of that school system in the state. We also have an opportunity, I think, to build on our culture of shared responsibility for student performance in our schools and districts in the state. So, there were a number of districts and schools that are going into year five in the turnaround or priority improvement category. This was some of the criteria that we talked about with you, I think it was in November, that really set forth the invitations that were presented to the state, to the districts to come talk to the state board. So the first criteria were districts that are in turnaround year five. The second criteria was districts with schools in turnaround year five. Districts in priority improvement year five who did not present last year. Districts with high concentrations of priority improvement or turnaround schools, districts with schools in priority improvement year five, the districts with schools in year four, and the last one was districts who presented last year. So with that, this begins the first of several conversations that you'll have over the course of April, May, and June. We think we can wrap them up in May if we stick to the schedule. If not, we might spill over into June slightly. So today you're going to be hearing from two different districts. Ignacio School District is first, and later on in the afternoon you'll be hearing from Douglas County. With that, I'll turn it over to Dr. Fischetto, Madam Chair, to begin their presentation.
Thank you, Dr. Rocco.
Good morning, everyone. We're glad to be here. I know we were last year at Grand Junction, and I think it was a very meaningful conversation that we had with the state board, so we would like to continue that conversation. So have quite a few people here, as you can see. This year we kind of changed that panel a little bit. I decided to bring some students and hear their perspective of what's been going on in our district, especially in the last 5 years since I've been superintendent. We want to thank the Department of Education. Without the TDEPS grant that we received, we would not have been able to do all the work that we have accomplished in the last 5 years. We continue to on that road to improvement. Our scores gradually going up, not as fast as the board would like to, but it's just the one thing that we have gone through is a process. You know, we could have probably concentrated and start teaching to the test, but we decided as an administrative team and board, we were not going to do that. We wanted something that was meaningful for all our students, so we began the process, and sometimes the process takes time to show results. I think we already have seen some of those. We have included some information where our graduation rate already is up to 86% compared to 50 or 60% 3-4 years ago. That's a good indication. More of our kids are beginning to apply to colleges, get more scholarships. It did not happen 5-6 years ago. So Ignacio School District is on the right track. So we ask for your patience for more time, and I think we'll get there. We are a unique district, as you know. Although our statistics do not show it, over 40%, 377 students out of 740 are Native American students. It's a different way of thinking, and we know they're great, great kids. We got great, great programs for our kids, but also they're not test takers. So that's a struggle that we have been facing, and we hopefully get them better. Just to give you a comparison, we almost have 100% graduation for our Native American students. So we, like I said, we're on a great track. So I'll let all the other members give the 2-minute speech, and then we'll be gladly answer all your questions. Also, I have delivered a letter to Madam Chair from our board president, and for their apologies that they could not be here today. And also, there's a special invitation if you'd
like me to take a minute and read that.
That'd be great.
Read the letter, I'd be glad to do so.
Okay. Thank
you. Dear board members, the Ignacio School Board would like to send our apologies for not having a board member representative at the presentation for our district. Work schedules and unforeseen circumstances are preventing us from being present. The board supports 100% of the efforts that the school district is making to improve our academic status in the state. We are a very good school district with many services and opportunities for our students. In this light, in order for you to understand and see how a unique school district works, we would like to extend an invitation to all or some of you to visit our district in the near future. Instead of perceptions, you will be able to see the reality in our school district. The district is willing to cover your expenses for this visit. So if any of you, I happen to be, I didn't think about the cover my expenses, but I do plan to visit in April because I'm coming to the general, the region. So I plan to get there. But any of the rest of you, if they're like driving to beautiful downtown Ignacio, which is a great, great city, you have the invitation from the superintendent here.
We're going to start competing with Denver. We're going to have 3 traffic lights here.
But what? Somebody was just telling me that you are really experiencing this. They now have a dollar store and a
Subway.
And a Subway. Yeah.
So it's big, booming town.
Go ahead, please.
Kathy, Dr. Corning.
Good morning, Madam Chairman. I am Dr. Kathy Picorni, and I'm the curriculum director for the Ignacio School District. I've been in the district for 15 years, and this is my first full year as curriculum director. I was the intermediate school principal as well as the curriculum director for many years, but as we've come into our improvement efforts, we really saw a need to do some reconfiguration of our schools, combine some things, and put somebody in place that could just really try to focus full-time on curriculum and the assessment piece. The thing that I would really like to highlight the most is the process that we've been through as a school district. We have such ownership, our teachers have such ownership in the work that they have done. Our consultant, Jay Thompson, who we went outside the box and we brought in someone from Ball State University and, who is just a curriculum expert, and he's been working with us over the past 5 years. And if you look in our book, I provided you with some samples of our rubrics that have been developed for every single grade level, every single class that we have in Ignacio has a set of expectations and a set of rubrics for kids to know and parents to know what the expectations are and where kids are. And we are in the process of moving towards a total competency-based program. This took a lot of time and a lot of work and a lot of kicking and screaming and pushing and laughing, and it still goes on every day. And I think that Mr. Herr, who is now the K-5 principal, will attest to the lasting change that has happened as a result of us being able to work on the curriculum. The other thing that's happened by having so many people involved in this is we really saw a need to change our course offerings and to really add the rigor that had been lacking in the district for many, many years, and that kind of that laissez-faire of this is the way it's always been done. And so we do have a section in here where we indicated the increase in the number of math classes, higher level math classes that we're offering. And our math teachers, our high school math teachers especially, would like you to know that even though they have some of the lowest achievement scores in the state, they have some of the most rigorous math classes that are being offered that you'll notice weren't being offered in 2010 and 2011. And they're constantly working to improve that program. Thanks to Dr. Fischetto's leadership, we've brought in a lot of online classes. We've brought in a lot of opportunities for our kids to really get some good, solid vocational classes that weren't being offered, and also paying attention to the media. We know that our test scores on the CSAP, TCAP, now the PARC test, tend to be low, but then when we look at the data that we have for our STAR testing and our local data and assessments that we're doing with our kids, we know that our kids are improving, and we know that our kids are working towards a better education. So we're really excited about that.
Mr. Herr?
Hi, I'm Carl Herr. I'm the elementary principal, which is now K-5, as you've heard. I'm in my eighth year as principal in that school district. It's a year and a half. Just a little over a year that we moved into our new building. I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the historical efforts that we've had in our school. About 6 years ago, in my second year as principal, we were looking at our middle of the year assessment data from, at that point, it was mostly Ames Web, now replaced by Dibbles Next. And we realized we had about 70% of our students that were below where they needed to be, and we just said, that's not acceptable. And we started a research project, basically. We consulted. We had a wonderful BOCES school psych who was that classic nurture plus little accountability. And she really was saying, hey, we can do better than this. I know you can do. And so we started researching options and things to look at. We visited some schools. We came up with what we called core reading, which were leveled, flexible, data-driven reading groups. Every 8 to 10 weeks, we look at those groups again and say, who needs to move up? Who needs to get a little bit more intervention? We did creative use of our kindergarten assistants, so they also are helping with first grade reading, pulling in our title and our special ed folks. Every year, we've tweaked that a little bit. That's one of our favorite words, is tweaking, because I think that's part of that continuous improvement cycle. One of the things that's really been great in the last couple of years is through the READ Act, Donna Bright and consultants from CDE have come down. Of note, Jane Burke was one who came and worked with us and again really helped us dig into that Dibbles Next data using the MCLAS system, which has been provided as part of the READ Act. It's given us immediate data access, and for us to really dig deeper into that data, we're no longer just looking at the composite scores, but we're looking at those individual things, those foundational skills. And so one of the things that we saw this particular year was we implemented some changes to address gap areas at kindergarten. We've had the best retention of skills coming for those kids coming from kindergarten to first grade that we've seen since I've been there. Likewise, our first grade data is the strongest that it's been this year in a long time. Well, we can't wait for all of that to happen. We're continuing to work on those things. I think the other great example of a good partnership between CDE and our school has been Tracy Handy, also through the READ Act, came down and taught a reading foundations class. It's a little bit like letters from Sopras West. And eight sessions, we had 16 of our teachers, K-3, that took part in that. There was a stipend. That never hurts to honor people's time. But as a result of that, our teachers have implemented some good changes that, and that's noted in here in one of those documents. And we feel that those changes are really making a difference. I think if I could highlight one more thing at this point would be that I think the thing I'm most proud of is the collaboration, the true PLC work that's happening, the professional learning communities. No offense to anybody before me or anything else, but when I started, I think PLCs were much more just like grade-level teams. They were talking about field trips and those kind of minutiae of running, you know, keeping everything going. Now they're talking about data, and they're talking about closing gaps. Just last night, I opened my email and got some feedback from our Wednesday afternoon early release time. And that's what I see in those reports, is people saying, here's what we were talking about. How do we close these gaps for these resource students or these title students or these first graders? And so I think, you know, there's great shared leadership among the school. As a K-5, the truth is I can't be in every one of those PLC meetings, and so I have to be able to rely on teachers stepping up and taking that charge. And the level of data savvy that is happening among the staff, you don't go backwards on those kinds of things. Those things you just continue to build on and go forward. So I think I can honestly say there is certainly a level of anxiety over the status that we're in and wondering what might happen next. But there's not a defeatist attitude. We can do this. And when you see that kind of progress that we've been making, and you know, those are things we can build on. And what's more motivating? I have a statement in my little blurb in the book here. What's more motivating than seeing the results of your efforts pay off? And I think that's where we are, is teachers are really feeling like they're making a difference, and they're seeing that what they're doing is making a difference. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. Is that on? I can't hear. My name is Julie Stone, and I'm employed by the Southern Indian Tribe as a teacher at the middle school, one of four teachers that we have in our department through the Department of Education to support the students at the different schools in the district. My piece in this, I think, is a little bit different. It's not so much focused on data and speaking to that as much as I feel, and department teachers as well as my director, about the collaboration effort between the Southern Indian Tribe Education Department, the tribe itself, and the council and the school district. We feel that that's probably been the most strengthening piece of this whole improvement effort as far as we're concerned in our department, in that we have put together and agreed upon what's called an interagency agreement, and I think that's probably been the pivotal piece between the Southern Indian Tribal Council, the education department, and the school district. You'll see that as actually the last document that's as part of this packet. But the partnership piece is what I'd like to speak to. And that involves many different, not only just activities, but the partnership of us as teachers in the schools with the staff, as well as the director of my department, and partnering with the principals in the schools and sharing in those meetings and the administrative pieces. A few things that I've highlighted to speak to would be some recent changes that we've made, or some additions, I could say, in this partnership, in that the development of a youth language class to bringing into the high school, and that has been new in this year, or will be this spring of 2015. We also have provided spaces for classes that are offered through the district at our education department. As you know, our schools are, we have one more school that's in the development stage. We've brought classes down into our buildings. We've had we'll be having leadership conferences. We've been using the beautiful buildings that Ignacio has built for conferences for and as a part of the tribal conferences and events. Some of the things that some of my co-teachers have asked to highlight today is a looking forward piece. And that being said, is that we're in the preliminary stages of looking at strengthening this relationship, our relationship with the district and with the families and the students, particularly the Native American students, that have issues with academic language. And academic language in the sense of the development of an ELL program that is specific towards, you know, our students don't look like they're ELL students in the typical sense of ELL, but they're exposed to several languages, Navajo and Southern Ute languages in the home that aren't at the level of academic language speaking that we need for more achievement in the schools. We're in the process of having those talks with the school district right now.
What do you mean by not academic language? I mean, I think all languages are, they communicate.
Right.
And what
right.
do you mean by that?
Academic language in the sense of what I'm talking about.
I know what academic language is, but mm-hmm. when you say that they're, that the languages that they speak are not up to academic language.
Right, in the form of, well, maybe, Kathy, I can kind of defer to you on that because I think we're talking about more in the home. In the home, you're not, the children are not exposed to academic language in the home.
There's a tremendous amount of research that supports those lower socioeconomic families not having the same degree of exposure to language.
That's different than saying the language okay. is not up to...
And I thought that's what she was trying to say.
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to say. I didn't mean to sound like the Native American languages do not have academic components to it. I'm not saying that. But the English language academic component is the exposure level is okay. not great in our community. Thank you for that.
Clarification.
I think I've used my time. Thank you.
Next, I'm Kelly McCaw. I am a parent of two boys in the Ignacio School District, 9th grade and 11th grade. I also serve as the district accountability person, chairperson. And my presentation, I guess, today is just from mostly the parent perspective. And seeing the, by being part of district accountability, building accountability, other, you know, strategic planning, things like that, I see the hard work that our administrators put in, our teachers put in. I see the change. I feel the change. My boys have both been very successful academically. I feel that the school district has given all of our kids, we are a tri-ethnic community, Hispanic, Native American, you know, they have given English, they have given all of our kids the opportunity to get an education. I think the some of the issue with, you know, the testing, whatever, that some of the families, parents, kids, whatever, don't take advantage of that opportunity. It's there. I think that it's present, it's there. You will be successful if you put in the effort. You know, the school also, the district as a whole, it's a small school, so I consider it a family. We all know each other. We all... encourage each other. We all, you know, are at each other's academic events, athletic events, supporting our kids, supporting our community, supporting our school district. And I think that's one of the great things about Ignacio School District is it's got that family component to it. We care about each other. We, you know, care about the education of our kids. We want them to be successful and that... that opportunity, that process is there in place and it's getting better. We just, as parents and students, need to take advantage of that. I don't know what else to say towards that other than, you know, and probably most school districts, those people are working their fingers to the bone. You know, They try to come up with any idea, every idea for attendance, for, you know, how to get these kids to be present, be, you know, excited about what they're learning. I can see that in this district. My boy started kindergarten there, so they've been, you know, we've been in the district for 12 years now. Grew up in the area. So, you know, it's anyways, we've just seen, I never thought it was a, you know, there was anything wrong with it, because you could always see the effort put into educating our kids. And it's exciting to see the kind of the spirit and the pride getting put back into everybody working together between the tribe, the town, you know, the school district, the surrounding communities. It's exciting because we're starting to feel like this pride about our community, our education, and the hard work that's going into it. And we're there to and encourage our kids to accept that thing they're being offered to make them better people. Not necessarily, you know, not just in the academic realm, but in the life realm. They have so many different things that they see, that they're part of in our community, because it's such a unique community, that they're getting a life lesson on top of an academic lesson. So I commend, you know, our district and the hard workers that are there.
Tori Archuleta, a sophomore.
Good morning. My name is Tori Archuleta. I'm a sophomore at Ignacio High School. The first thing I would like to say is our school, we're three small schools on a reservation where half of our population is Native Americans and Hispanics. And, I mean, we even have some African Americans and some Cuban people. I mean, our culture is just amazing, and our schools do a great job at, how would I say it? They do a great job at implementing everybody into everything. For example, I'm in Student Senate, and the first thing that we've done this year is we've implemented clubs into our high school, and everybody is a part of something, and that's something that you don't get at other schools. We even have a no club club. I mean, that's still a club. Somebody is a part of it. I would also like to say is just that as students, we're very well educated. Our test scores might not show that, but we are really educated. I mean, I have friends who, they are the smartest thing, I swear, but their test scores, they don't like to take tests, so they don't show it. I feel like tests are just a way of trying to show what you know, but you don't get the full thing, because if, like, say you're sick one day, I mean, you're not up to your full ability to take a test. And I feel like test scores don't define our school. Our school is so much greater than our test scores. I mean, our community service class last year, we had decided to write a letter to the town and ask for a subway. Our town worked together and we got a subway. I feel like if students want to do something, they will do whatever they want and they will do what it takes to pursue it. I do recycling at the elementary school on Mondays, and every time I walk into the school, everybody is just so happy and students are so excited to learn. And I really think that's because they're just starting out and they absolutely love learning different things. They love reading, writing, they love doing math. I mean, you can't ask for more from kids. In the middle school, they go on a 9-week base, right? If I'm right. And I believe you have 2 elective classes. And throughout the school year, you get to choose what you want to learn for those electives. You choose what you would like to do in that class. And, for example, Native Studies. I'm Southern Ute, and I absolutely love Native Studies. I mean, it's learning about my culture, and they don't give you tests on that. You know what I mean? The teachers are just amazing. They are so patient with the students. And with this, when it comes to the students, if a student doesn't know, like if they don't understand the way that they're teaching, they will change their style of teaching just so the student will understand to try and build up those test scores. Because, I mean, you have those students where they don't learn from seeing. They have to be hands-on. And that is just so unique with our school. At the high school, we have so many programs. We have French. I mean, what other teacher or what other schools provide French? We also have German. We have the ACT class. And we even have a Ute language. And in our tribe, there are not a lot of... There's only maybe 15 elders who speak fluently in Ute. And for them to get a class for us, I mean, that's amazing. You couldn't ask more. I feel like our school district is very good, and I wouldn't want to be a part of a different one.
Thank you very much.
I didn't coach her either.
Good morning. I'm Chloe Velasquez, and I'm a freshman at Ignatia High School. And I've been going to Ignatia High School since I was in fifth grade, which I believe was Rocco's first year as superintendent. And I remember being in fifth grade, coming from a private Catholic school, and hearing all the opinions about Ignatia High School, and mostly is Ignatia kids are unintelligent, and that's just the way it is because that's what our test scores showed, and that's what like the main idea about Ignatia was. And I feel like throughout the 5 years that I've been going to Ignatia, our entire attitude has changed, and I feel like now we feel that we can be just as good as any other school district, and we have the resources now and the support to back that up. Going off of what Tori said, we have so many more programs now that we can expand what we want to learn on, and I'm part of a combo group, and we're one of the only schools that teach a combo, which is a choir and band together in one class, so you get to play an instrument and sing or do whatever you want to do musically. And we also have a gifted and talented program. And just recently, we took a trip here in February for the legislative day. And we got to follow around a senator. And that was an incredible experience. And I wouldn't have had the opportunity going to a different school where, I mean, we don't have as many opportunities. We're a small school with a big diversity. So we get a lot of opportunities to expand. I feel like our teachers are more interactive with us. We're smaller, so we have more of a connection. And it's actually proven that smaller class sizes do have a better learning. You have more one-on-one time with your teacher. You have more of a personal connection with them. They understand what's going on in your life because they're immersed in the community with you. And so they understand like the difficulties you face, and they find ways to teach you around that. Yeah, I feel we have a center-based program, and that is for educationally challenged children. I feel like that's the best way to put it. And there's our service learning stuff. We get to work with the kids and make them feel like they're part of our school. We're not excluding anybody from any of our programs, and it's really great to see how happy they are whenever you include them in anything that you want to do. And I feel like that's probably my favorite part of it, is getting to work with kids who aren't as privileged as I am, because I've been very successful in Ignatia. I haven't ran into any bumps. I've been taking ACT classes since I was in seventh grade, and I wouldn't we've got a seventh through tenth grade where we can take an ACT class before it's required. And it's really incredible to see how much we actually have started to care about our education now. We aren't just accepting the fact that we're below average. We're trying to be much better now. So, yeah, that's basically what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
My wife is here. She's a photographer, but also...
I'd like to say one thing. For the first time in the history of Ignatia schools last year,
we had one of our minority students get into a federal military academy. And that's never happened before. And I am very, very proud of that. He was a scholarship student to New Mexico Military Institute for a year. His grades were stellar. And he is now at the United States Merchant Marine Academy in good standing. And that will be a first for us. And I'm working on recruiting those two girls at the end of the table for future years. We have quite an interest now in the federal academies because the kids know from this one young man that they're capable of doing it.
That's a real example. I was curious. You have two new schools?
Right. We opened a brand new middle school in September 2013, and we opened a new elementary school in February 2014, which, if you've noticed by our data, our fourth and fifth grade data really dipped because that was 3 weeks before that, we moved them into a new building, so we don't know if that has something to do with it. Also, we combined, we were a K-3, 4, 5, and 6, and then 7 and 8 junior high. But we combined, we made into a K-5, so we had to bring two groups together within 3 weeks before the testing happened. So we don't know if that has something to do with it, and we're still looking at that data, and Carl is... And Kathy, they're working on that. And
did you mill levy increase for that? Did the community support a mill levy increase?
Right. Well, we passed almost a $50 million bond by one vote. So one vote.
Close.
So we are getting all brand new buildings. And this summer, we are going to open a brand new high school. So most likely we'll be receiving an invitation to come for a ribbon cutting ceremony sometime in August. We have all brand new buildings. Our facilities, I had a John Hill, which is the executive director of the National Rural Education Association, visit our district about 3 years ago, and he just came back 2 weeks ago. To visit us again. And when he left, he told our consultant, he didn't tell me personally, but our consultant told us that John Hill said, and he travels throughout the country, and once all our buildings are done, Ignacio Pro have one of the best schools in the whole United States.
Really?
So, that comes from the National Rural Education Association executive director, and he travels throughout the country.
And you are feeling, I don't know if you've seen it in test scores, but you talk about the Native Americans becoming stronger, students doing better. Do you have any test scores, anything, or can you give me any reasons why what you're doing that has kind of invigorated them to succeed?
Sure. Probably Kathy might have some data better than I can.
I was going to let Tori respond to that question.
Okay, so with our Native American students, I feel like the tribe has really helped us. I mean, they send people from the Southern Ute Education Department, and they're there to help tutor. For example, I'm in trigonometry, and that is a 5.0 class. It is really difficult.
Yeah.
But Mr. Kirsch, he's one of the teachers from the Southern Ute Education Department. He is always there to help me, and he will find a way to help you figure out how to do it. And I mean, the great thing about it is the people from the education department aren't just there for the Native Americans. They help everybody. I mean, their main focus might be the Native Americans, but if you have a question, they're going to help you regardless of anything. I feel like they have played a big part in us achieving more and learning more.
Excellent. Any other questions?
Yep. Thank you so much for your comments. Great to hear the good things that are happening at your school. I have a question regarding your DIBELS data. And I'm not sure there's a page number, but I'm just looking at MOY, middle of year, third grade. Is that this past year?
No, that is actually this current year.
This year?
Uh-huh.
So when you look at that, there's 60% of your kids that are still not benchmarked in reading, right? So I'm glad Jane Burke's been coming out. She's a colleague, and I know she does great embedded professional development. But I'm wondering what you're doing to really address that 60%. I think when we look at the kind of assessments our students are responsible for, whether we like them or not, there they are, and we're being held accountable to them, right? I think we know that direct instruction, especially in literacy, is very effective for kids. And so I'm wondering if that's occurring so that you can really address that 60%, because without that, I'm concerned that your assessment data will continue to really flag, and you know, you're doing some great work, but that's such a core predictor of performance in every other area.
Yes, it is.
So can you speak to what you're doing to really address instructional quality and literacy, which will render you in good shape in terms of achievement, as opposed to this 60%?
One of the things, and I'm sure you read this in here, but just to kind of highlight, if we look at the previous year and where we are this year, this actually, there are improvements this year over last year's data. And when you, if you just look at the composite, that news does not look as good, and that is what the graph is showing there. And that, when you drill down and look at the days, which is more of a comprehension piece, and I know you're familiar with that, that's an area that we have really tried to work on. We're looking at those, where are those gaps? What are those foundational skills where kids are lacking? And I think that's probably one of the biggest growth areas for our teachers, is that willingness to look at the minutiae of the data, not just the big picture, and say, oh, my kids are green, or my kids are yellow or red, or whatever that is, but why are they yellow? Why are they red? Why are they green? What are their real strengths? You know, and trying to build on those things. And so I think that reading foundations class that Tracy taught, you know how when you say things within your school, they don't always get heard the same way as when you bring an expert from the outside. And Tracy had a great way to really connect with teachers, but also challenge them. And that's what Jane is also able to do. And I think, so that's what we are trying to do, is address where are those specific gaps, devise interventions, you know, those. In addition to the core reading, we also have intervention groups that are happening, not just with title and core teachers, but also within classrooms, putting greater instructional time onto those things. But the focus on accuracy and that fluency is what we're really working on at this point moving forward, so that students are able to comprehend it. As you say, that's the foundation for everything.
So would your literacy person be able, for example, to delineate, yes, we're spending 90 to 150 minutes a day in literacy. We're adding 30 minutes for every year the kids are behind. We're really working on vocabulary, fluency, phonics,
yes,
and comprehension strategies.
Yes.
We track the kids every X number of weeks. We see not only yearly growth, but accelerated growth. Because without that kind of detail and specificity, I'm concerned that in you're in the fifth year on the clock, is that right?
Yes.
I'm concerned that your outcomes may not be what's necessary to, you know, move on with your district. So I would just encourage you to ensure that that's a real focus, because I think that's the biggest leverage point you have at this point.
Yeah, and I agree. Reading is our top priority. And one of the things that I didn't mention, we also have been able to use our READ Act funds to hire a part-time consultant. Her name is Maureen Nichols. She worked with Douglas County Schools, Jeffco Schools, as an instructional coach, has worked with Fort Lewis College with student teachers. And so she has come in. We've done several data wall activities, again, where teachers have to really look at that. And then the biggest question we're asking now in our school is what now? So you know what your data is, what now? Teachers also are required, we use three people to benchmark students so that we have consistency across the school, but every teacher is progress monitoring their own individual students. If they're below the 10th percentile, they're being progress monitored every other week with STAR and every other week with Dibble's Next. So we have two different measures that we're looking at. If they're at the 40th percentile, they're being benchmarked at least once a month, so that we have that current and accurate data and really trying to look at those things.
Good. May I ask one follow-up question?
Sure.
Maybe for the board or the commissioner, or somebody from CDE staff. When the school reaches that point where these various actions are taken or not taken by the board because they're in the fifth year of priority improvement or turnaround, what data determines that? Is it the new CMAS with the new cut scores, which we set recently, which are very aggressive? Or are they the data they present, which in this case is Dibble's Next and STAR or something? I mean, what data determines whether or not there's been enough progress and achievement to allow them to move within these categories, I guess. I'm concerned about the CMAS and the aggressive test scores we set.
Dr. Owens coming up to answer the question. Thank you, Dr.
So, Madam Chair, with the transition year that's going on, with the new assessments coming into place right now, there was legislation that was passed last year that allows the State Board to look at not only what the district's information, their local assessment information, but also to take into consideration the new assessment information and utilize that information to make a determination as to whether they move up to a higher category. And so next year, next fall, next winter, Ignacio can go through the request reconsideration process, bringing their local information, looking at the current assessment data that would be available, and make a request to raise their rating. If the department approves that request, then they would move essentially off the clock for those categories if they submit that information. If they don't have enough compelling information to make that case, then ultimately recommendations will come to the State Board from the State Review Panel and from the department as to what actions they would suggest for your consideration. And those actions are based on statutory references to, there's five or six options there. The thing that also is in the transition bill that allows the State Board to take into consideration during that transition, I think, is some opportunity to reflect on the current work that the school district is doing in their schools in the district.
So let me ask a clarifying follow-up real quick. So is what you're saying is they will, in the CDE and the State Board looking at the data, they'll take into account CMAS with the new very aggressive cut scores and STAR and DIBLS Next and all the data the school uses internally, and somehow that will create a body of evidence that the State Board will review? Is that how it works? I need to reread the statute. I'm just reminding myself.
Yes.
Madam Chair. So districts can utilize the new assessment information that will be available in the fall.
CMAS,
language arts, math, anything that they're taking in the spring here in the current 14-15 school year. And they can utilize that information if they want to try to raise their current rating. So they have a current 2014 rating that is the basis for the 2015 rating. If they don't want to do that, if they don't want to raise or utilize information to try to raise their current score, their current accreditation ratings, then they'll just accept what they currently have. We're anticipating most districts that are on the clock will want to bring more information forward through the request for consideration process to try to raise their ratings during that time frame.
So I'm just concerned with the very aggressive cut scores on the elementary side that we looked at yesterday on the high school side and wanted to reconsider, right? It's not likely that a school would bring to bear that data to raise their rating. I mean, I'm concerned that those data will result in decreased ratings.
Exactly.
And then if the DIBLS scores look like this, I'm just concerned for a sense of urgency for this school district. So anyway, any suggestions?
Madam Chair.
So, Madam Chair. Do you want to ask Dr. Owen?
No.
Let him finish, and then we'll ask you. You can ask a separate question.
Have you finished?
Sure. Madam Chair. Just a point of clarification. The current assessment information won't be used to harm any school districts. They can't reduce their ratings from their current rating. They can only help increase their overall rating. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Owens.
Yep.
Okay, your percentage of second language, English as a second language, is very large, isn't it?
It's going to increase because we have gone through the identification process.
What is it?
The percentage,
Yes.
Three.
Yeah, we're probably looking at less than 10%. And part of that reason is because
less than 10% of second language
that have been identified. Yeah, and part of that reason was because as times change and people change and administrators change and laws change.
But what is the language that's spoken at home? You said so what is the percentage of people that speak?
We can't really give you that because a lot of those students are speaking English at home. And so under the new identification opportunities, we're starting to identify more students that qualify.
Well, I myself would not use DIBLS as a because of the other language. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't use DIBLS. There is a lot of research that shows that dibbles is not a good instrument to use for kids that come from backgrounds that are that's not English. And this isn't the Reading International Association. And so, you know, I kept up with the reading, and dibbles is not. And this is why the department has come forth and put forth several other instruments, you know, in that are kind of possibly like dibbles, but where the sound system is different, at least for Spanish. So if you're hanging your hat on dibbles, I think you're doing a big mistake to your student population. And you should be using other means. I know dibbles is quick, 3 minutes, whatever. It's not going to work for your populations that speak another language. They hear another sound. They cannot really take that sound. So I would say that's a big issue with you. I found that dibbles did not, and I'm glad the department has done a wonderful job in including other instruments that are kind of like dibbles, but that use sounds in Spanish.
Is that the demographic in your district, though?
Spanish? No, not to the extent.
I'm not saying Spanish. I'm saying that they come from homes where native language,
yeah, and Spanish are using, language, absolutely.
They're using, and so their sound system. Well, that's, I think it's much higher than that.
We're talking identified kids. Yeah, exactly. That's part of the issue that we're really looking into and that we're finding more and more and identifying and working together. And that is what Julie was talking about in the collaboration that we're doing with the Southern Ute Tribe as far as identifying more kids and getting programs in place that are going to be helpful in that area. We've always said that. Our data is not really that. This data is not really reflective of what we're actually what's actually happening.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But you can't tell them that. You can suggest it.
Madam Chairman,
if I could address the issue on the 5-year turnaround. I just want to make sure, too, that board members, that you understand the elementary school is in 5-year turnaround. However, this is the first year of our K-5 elementary school. This is not 5 years of a K-5 elementary school. We were two schools. We were a 4-5-6, and we were a K-1-2-3, and now we're one K-5. So we opened a new school on 5-year turnaround, where we also know that one of the options for reorganization would be to close a school. We just happened to know that there were some things that we wanted to do differently with our schools, and so we've already made some of those changes.
Another striking thing that just came out is it's a corollary question. And why do you have 12% of your children that are in special ed? I mean, it doesn't seem reasonable that most populations you wouldn't find 12% of your kids be.
Madam Chair,
yes.
If I may be able to answer a question. Actually, our special ed enrollment just went up. I can tell you right now, our middle school, we have 44 students that have IEPs out of 188 students. We have seen...
What's in the water?
That we see an influx. A lot of people come from Arizona, New Mexico. They're moving into our area. Our enrollment did go up this past year. We gained quite a few students, but they come with IEP. And we are a school district that we will serve any kid that walks through our doors, sure. No matter what sure. their needs are. Yeah. But we have seen an influx. As a matter of fact, yesterday we hired another special ed teacher right here in March,
really?
Because we saw that special need that our population increased, and we hired a teacher. He started yesterday to help with the amount of IEP students. So we don't know. I talked to all my superintendents, and it seems like in the Four Corners, we're all experiencing that. All the field is an increase in IEP students moving into our area.
Maybe different instruments.
Okay. So I just have one. I'm not sure it's a question, but I guess I want to
discuss with you the comment you made, you're not teaching to the test.
What was that?
That you're not teaching to the test, which was music to my ears, but tell me what is the approach that you're using with your teachers to acknowledge that there is an assessment?
Sure. Madam Chair?
Yes.
We have, like I mentioned, we have put a process in place where we look at every standard, every benchmark, and the students develop rubrics to teach all the specific benchmarks. So hopefully, when we looked at the national standards, Common Core, we combine all of those together. So when we develop those rubrics, we are covering all the standards and benchmarks.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Yes, I think. Any other comments, board members? I thank you all for your presentation. I think it was excellent.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thanks for coming, Claire, up here to see us. And I look forward to visiting you. I hope some of our other board members can, too.
Where are you? We're about 25 miles southeast of Durango.
Okay.
7 miles north of the New Mexico border, which something I did not mention. We also educate about 70 students from the New Mexico border, from New Mexico, because we are the closest school district. So we pick them up at the state line and they come through.
And you have a tribal council there, don't you?
Yes, we do have a tribal council with the Southern Ute. As a matter of fact, Tuesday night, we are having a meeting with tribal council and the school board. We do those 3 or 4 times a year, a schedule fit, just to keep that communication line open and to the collaboration piece.
Very good. Any other questions?
No, not a question.
Not a question statement?
No, no.
Oh, nothing.
Nothing on this topic.
Nothing else. Thank you very much. For
thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you.
Having voted on the prevailing side on the motion for the approval, for the disapproval of the social studies and science cut scores, I'd like to give notice of intent to reconsider, have that entered in the minutes, and that placed as an agenda item on for the agenda.
Catch that there.
The next meeting, I'm sorry, April. Yeah.
Have a reconsideration.
A reconsideration.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.